I want to tell you a cool little story before I share God's word with you. A little over a year ago, a gentleman had contacted me. His name is Steve Tybor from 8 Days of Hope. Many of you know who that is. Many of you have gone on one of those trips. I know Steve Vineyard's been, Carol McDermott has been, maybe some others. My mind's going blank right now. Margaret Perry. And they came here to Batavia last year during the time of Kingdom Bound. And what they do is they take volunteers from all over the country and they go into places like Houston, Texas, where they had the flooding, and they had 4,000 people there that had volunteered to help. And they came here last year during Kingdom Bound and invited people from Kingdom Bound that week to come to Batavia and to help do things. Well, I had talked to the city manager and different people in the city to find out what their needs were. And they gave a list, and I'm telling you, these guys, they completed every single one of them. It was a great, great win for the city and for the Lord and for 8 Days of Hope. So he called me again this year. He said, we can only come for a day. We're looking for a day project. He said there could be 20, could be 50 people that come. So we contacted the city, found out there was some elderly people that needed some work done on the house, and we got four different names of four different people. And Steve came out this week, and I get a text on my phone on Friday that he'd already been out like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning and heading back to Buffalo. He said, we're going to paint this little lady's house. She's 85 years old. Her name is Rose. I said, well, great. Called him, and I said, I'm going to stop over there. So I went over, I don't know, a little after 9 on Friday morning, and pulled up on the street. Neighbor lady's looking at me like, what are you doing here in my hood? And I got out, and I says, hi, is this Rose's house here? And this little voice from the back, I heard, I'm Rose. Here I am. And here's a sweet little 85-year-old lady. I said, hi, Rose, I'm Pastor Marty, and I hear you're going to get your house painted. And she just started crying, putting her hands over her. She says, I can't believe this. So I was just praying last night, God, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And then this man showed up at my house early this morning and said that you guys are going to paint my house. And he told me it wasn't going to cost me anything, but will you tell me how much money is it going to cost? I looked at her and I said, Rose, it's not going to cost you any money. That felt good just to say that right now. She started crying. I prayed for her, just hugged her. And then as I was leaving, I hear this. She said, and I knew the Breckenridge family. Well, that's my wife's maiden name, Breckenridge. And I stopped and I turned around and I said, what did you say? She says, I knew the Breckenridges. I go, who? She goes, I knew Clara. Now, Clara was my wife's grandmother. Clara was the one that got up 3:30 every morning, go into the bathroom, lock the door, put the toilet seat down, lay a towel over it, lay her Bible, open it up, get on her knees, and pray for an hour and a half for her family and for her grandchildren to meet the right people in their lives. I looked at that woman and I said, Rose, with a tear coming down my cheek, I am here today because of Clara Breckenridge. Let me tell you all something right now. You never know the destiny when you meet a certain individual that is going to be released, not only at that moment, but in the future as well. I was just so excited and just, I'm saying, Lord, thank you so much. Patty's grandma has been gone for, I don't know, years now. She was like 140 when she died. She's been around, but she's still, to this day, the legacy continues. This is powerful. And God, amen, clap your hands to Jesus for that. And the Lord, he just will continue to do great things for you, through you, if you'll trust him and if you'll let him do that. So Lord, we just thank you today Thank you for 8 days of hope. Thank you for Rose. I thank you for your people here. I pray just for the next few minutes that you would touch their heart and bless their lives in a beautiful way in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. And incidentally, I asked Steve how we could help, and he said, if anybody wants to help, it'll be a week from this coming Tuesday. July 31st is when they're going to do it, during that Tuesday. If it rains, it'll be on the Wednesday. But if you can help, or even, you know what, some of you, maybe somebody could, you could bring a cooler of water, or if you wanted to do something, there's many, many things you could do. And let's let that week be a great blessing for our community. I shared last week about not stopping, and I just wanted to touch on that again today in your lives, because when you and I, when we stop the momentum that God is giving us to move forward with, we literally begin to go backwards, because time and the world is moving ahead. And as much as challenges and issues and failures in our lives would try to stop you, God is here to help you to move forward. Hebrews 10:36, if you don't have it underlined in your Bible or written out so you can know it and learn it, you need to. He says you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And last week, I talked out of Joshua chapter 6 and how God told Joshua he's going to give him Jericho. And the Bible says that the gates, they were shut up, King James says. No one went in, no one was coming out. And then he says in verse 2, he says to Joshua, he says, but I want you to see that I have given it to you. Sometimes you got to look past what you see with your natural eyes and see something deeper, something that goes beyond what your own finite mind can imagine. When God told Joshua, I've given that to you, when Joshua looked up at it, he saw that no one was coming in, no one was going out. There was no entryway into the promise that God said, I'm going to give to you. But he gives them a plan after that. And if you read verses 1 through 5, you'll see what he tells them to do. But three things, when he tells them, I want you to walk around it six times, and once every day for 6 days, and then the last day I want you to walk around it 7 days, and at the end of that I want you to shout. And the Bible, in this whole scenario, it teaches us that things, the walls look bigger to them than what they really were. Because when God says he's going to move something, it may look big to you now, but he is someone who keeps his word. He will help you and give you the strength to get past it. The second thing is that we never see it happen as fast as we hoped it would happen. And then the third thing is this: we're always looking at the clock. We're thinking, okay, God, this is the time I'm going to give you. If you're going to do what I need to be done, this is when you got to do it. And God's not looking at your clock or at my clock. He's looking at his own clock. He's saying, I'm going to release, I'm going to do, I'm going to fix, I'm going to restore, I'm going to make new for you. I'm going to bring your dream to pass in the time in which I say it's right. And you don't have to worry about it. And some of you, you may be here struggling today with something that hasn't come to pass, or something maybe even in your life that you did, or something, a decision that you made, or a problem that you've had, and it's causing you to deal with some sleepless nights or heartache or just this depression in your heart and in your life. You don't know how you're going to get through that. But I've come to tell you today that God is bigger than that. He's bigger than your losses. He's bigger than your mistakes. He's bigger than the mountain that is facing you down, that is in front of you. And sometimes we feel shame in our lives concerning those things that we've been through. Maybe it's a personal thing. Maybe it's something that someone is judging you on. Maybe it's a family issue that brings, when you think about it and ponder it, you get depressed over it. And the enemy always wants to throw stuff up at you and cause you to have this jaded look at your future and what he has possible for you. But I just want to tell you today that God is bigger than your setbacks. He's bigger than the things you've encountered. When Jesus is a part of your life, he will transform you and he will begin to work those dark moments into something that's beautiful for your life. Oh, I believe that with all of my heart. And I love this scripture. Micah talks about this in Micah chapter 7 and verse 7. He says, I'll look to the Lord. I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God, he will hear me. This is so powerful. He says, don't rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I'll rise again. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be light to me. And I want you just to leave that scripture up on the screen, boys, just for a moment, because look at what he says. He says, he will wait. Not everybody is good at that. We don't like to wait. We want it. We live in that moment. We want it now. But here the Bible says, Micah says, I'm going to wait for the God of my salvation. I'm going to wait. He says, my God, while I'm waiting, he is hearing me. And sometimes we have this disconnect. God, are you there? Can you hear me? God is hearing you. He says, his enemy, he says, don't rejoice over me. Hey, boy, anybody know what it's like to have somebody jeer at you, an enemy, just say, he's nothing. You'll never be anything. You're no good. You failed. You messed up. But Micah says, enemy, don't laugh over me now, because you haven't seen what God is going to do with me yet in the days to come. You watch and see what God. I might be down now. I might be out. I may be in trouble. Maybe I've made mistakes. I've messed up. I've flubbed it up in a big way. But watch this, enemy, because God says I'm going to rise up out of the ashes of life, and God is going to do something with me that the people that are watching me won't even comprehend what's happening. God is on my side. He said, I'm going to get back up. And even though it's dark right now, God is shining a light in the darkness of my life. I read something on social media the other day. If you can't see a light at the end of the tunnel, turn on a light a candle so it'll help you to get through. Sometimes you got to do that. You got to believe that God, he is with you. And it may be dark in your life, and you may be fully engaged in this attitude today of fear. You may be here today, and you may be trembling over what is going on or happening in your life. But I'm going to tell you today, God has come to deliver you and I out of the snare of the fowler. Come on today. And I love this verse. Amen. Clap for him this morning. I love this verse in Psalm 91. I'm just going to read the second verse, but when I was reading it, I just loved it. And I want to go old school and read it out of the New King James in Psalm 91. He said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Verse 3 says, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. God is a deliverer. God is one who will not let the fowler snare you and keep you entangled. He has come to set you free this morning. He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid by the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. And I know I'm talking to somebody. Do you lay your head down at night, and when you turn the light off, terror, fear begins to grip your heart? The enemy really likes to camp on that in some people's life. He wants to bring that terror at night. But God has come to set you free from that. That will not have any hold over your life. He says, or the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 will fall at one side, 10,000 at your right. It will not touch your life. It will not touch your family. It will not touch what God lays your hand to. He will bless you. He's going to lift you out of that today. Why? He says, because you've made the Lord your refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. And I come against every sickness and every disease that would touch the people of God today in the name of Jesus. He'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Remember Psalm 23? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He said, I turned around, and surely and goodness, they were following me all the days of my life. That's the angel of the Lord that God has given charge over you, that'll come by your side, and it'll help you and whisk you through that terror that wants to come into your life. He said, you'll tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. Listen, I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver. And he says, I'll not only do all of that, I'm going to lift him up to a place and I will honor him. And then I love how he ends this psalm. That's why I couldn't just read a little bit of it. You see, because when you go through all the junk in your life, when you go through all the darkness, when you go through all the failure and all the heartache, and you submit your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, he'll not only deliver you, he'll not only answer you, he'll not only be with you and honor you. Now, he's going to give you a long life so you can just enjoy everything good that God has for you. Come on today. That's a blessing. He's working something incredible in your life. Maybe you're here today and you could have made a better decision. You didn't, and now you're dealing with it. But God can pick you up right where you're at. He can begin to fix that, what's broken in your life, right now. He can redeem you from whatever mess you or me have made. How many of you have been set free from some messes in your life today? Look around. So what do we do? I'm going to just close with these three thoughts, and then we're going to share communion together. Number one, you got to practice accepting God's forgiveness. You got to make a practice of it. Chris spoke on forgiving on Thursday night. And as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, we could hear a message on forgiveness every week, every month. And I learned that you can't just forgive one time and then everything is okay. You've got to practice it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you got to practice it and know about it concerning your life before you can do it for anybody else's life. Paul says in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, for those who God has set free. He is not mad at you today. Psalm 103 says he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. And I know some people don't like to hear that, because some people are hung up on this saying, well, God is going to get them for that. And wait until God deals with you on that. Wait till you have to face. You know, the reality of it is, he does not repay us for what we deserve. That's why you and I need to love him. Why? How we should. Because he looks at you and I not like we look at ourselves or other people. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Thank God for that. Micah 7:18 says, who's a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. Oh, thank God for that. Number two, you got to practice forgiving yourself. You got to work on that. Listen to this with a brand new set of ears today out of Isaiah 43. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. God says, I'm doing a new thing. It's springing up. Can't you see it? I'm making a way in a desert. I'm making streams in the wasteland. Proverbs 24:16, you've messed up once, twice, three times, five. The Bible here says, though a righteous man, a good man, a righteous man, he will fall seven times, but he gets back up again. Who am I talking to in this house this morning? That you need to get back up again. If you're going to live like you're forgiven, you're going to have to adhere to something bigger than what you've listened to before. You got to make some small steps in order to get some big results. Hear that one more time. Small steps will equal big results. Large doors swing on little hinges. You got to begin to move in that direction today. And then last, Andy, come on up to the keyboard. You got to practice living with great vision in your life. You got to quit giving up on what doesn't come to pass in the time that you hoped it would. You've got to quit throwing in the towel and say, you know what, I just quit. I can't handle this anymore. And Paul says to the Philippians in Philippians 3, he says, I don't consider, hey, listen, I haven't taken hold of it yet, but one thing I have done, I'm leaving behind and I'm pushing towards a great prize that is in front of me. You know what? That's just not for Paul or for me or for a chosen few. That's for all of us here. God's got something great in your future. He's got something great ahead of you, and you need to press towards that. Something that's bigger than you. Something that's beyond what you have imagined in your heart. And you have to practice doing that every single day. I was thinking about that. You have to be repetitive concerning the dreams that God has placed in your heart. You have to be repetitive about doing the things that will be a great blessing to your life and to your family. You can't just do it once and think, well, you know, that's all I need to do now. You have to do it ongoing, day by day, every single day of your life. You have to make the decision to move forward. You have to make the decision to live with great vision. You have to talk to the ones that are in your life, the ones who are close to you, people and your spouse, your family, and share with them vision. And you got to talk about it on a regular basis. What is in your heart today? Because if you have that vision, God will, you won't have that propensity to always stop and always to give up. Some people go so far and they just say, well, that's it. That's all. Can't go anymore. Or people say, this always happens. I get just this far and then. And all the time, the Lord is trying to help you and I with a new pattern in our lives. To believe Him for greater. I'm going to close in this scripture. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. I read it last week. Just put it in writing. Because it is not yet time for it to come true. But the time is coming quickly. What I show you will come true. It may seem slow in coming, but wait for it. It will take place, and it will not be delayed. When that thing comes, it's going to come upon you. God's hand is going to be released over your life, in your family, in your home, in your business, in your finances, in your health, in your dreams, in your future. For your family, God's going to release it in a bountiful way over your life today. Come on, do you believe it this morning? Do you receive that this morning? Come on, do you believe that today? I want those that are going to help with communion, I want you to come now. And as they're coming, I want to ask every one of you this morning to prepare your heart. To open up your life and open up your heart to Him. If you've never given your life to Jesus, this is something you need to do today. You need to do that now. He loves you. Go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, just begin to pass out the cup and the bread. Once you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. I'll give you instructions. We'll partake together. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said He came in to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His Son Jesus, that whoever will believe in Him will have eternal, everlasting life. When you receive the cup and the bread, I want you to close your eyes. If you're here today and things in your life are, they're out of sorts, they're out of kilter, something is not right, this is a moment that between you and the Lord, you can come to Him and let Him help you and be real to you. Change what's going on in your life. What a precious moment together. Thank you, God. We worship you. We thank you. When you take the bread and the cup, hold it. We'll all partake together. Just close your eyes. If you've never given your life to Jesus, do that now. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin, my past. He'll forgive you. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. Go ahead. Ask him that. You're here today. Maybe your life is, you're just off. Oh, I just felt the Lord just nudge me. Some of you, you're still dealing with unforgiveness. Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed after you get the cup and the bread. People that don't like to hear the message of forgiveness and forgiving others have the biggest struggle with it. You need to make that decision today in your life. Maybe it's an ex-spouse. Maybe it's a former boss. Just it's a friend. Somebody has hurt you. The Lord wants you to move past that today, right? As we partake in a moment together. Let him cleanse your life. Thank you, Jesus. If you were missed by any chance with the communion, with the elements, raise your hand so we know to make sure you're served. Anyone at all. Take the bread. Jesus, the Bible says, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. He said, this is my body. This has been broken for you. He was bruised for our iniquities, beaten. Thank you, Lord, for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus took the cup. He said, this is my blood poured out. This is the new covenant. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. I pray this morning, God, for every life here. I pray for everyone who is struggling physically, emotionally, mentally this morning. Let them sense and let them experience the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Prayer people, would you make your way to the front? Father, I thank you today for your great grace, for your great love. The purposes and the plans that you have for our lives are beautiful and And God, for that I'm thankful and I'm grateful. I pray for everyone that is here, every man, woman, boy, and girl, your hand would be upon them in a beautiful and in a mighty way. Not one would leave here today carrying any burden that they brought in with them. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, and today we've touched you and you have touched us. Favor, grace, and blessing to be upon every life. I pray today in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. If you need prayer before you go today, come on down. Let these folks, let them pray with you and pray over you. If you gave your heart to Jesus, come down and tell one of them here that you did that. I want to give you a Bible today, and just, they want to greet you and welcome you to the kingdom of God. I love you. Go in his grace today. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. God's got great things for you.